71. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There are a few shlokas preceding this one that is on the board, so I will first read them and then we'll together chant the 71st. Text 63. Tamuchu patyamanaste sure panjalonripa kimna indra jigamsasi brataru marutastava. Translation. O king, being very much aggrieved, they pleaded to Indra with folded hands, saying, Dear Indra, we are the Maruts, your brothers. Why are you trying to kill us? Text 64. When Indra saw that actually they were his devoted followers, he said to them, If you are all my brothers, you have nothing more to fear from me. 65. Shukadeva Goswami said, My dear King Parikshit, You were burned by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama, but when Lord Krishna entered the womb of your mother, you were saved. Similarly, although the one embryo was cut into 49 pieces, but the thunderbolt of Indra, they were all saved by the mercy of Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, even once, he receives the benefit of being promoted to the spiritual world and possessing the same bodily features as Vishnu. Diti worshipped Lord Vishnu for almost 1 year, adhering to a great vow. Because of much strength in spiritual life, the 49 Maruts were born. How then is it wonderful that the Maruts, although born from the womb of Diti, became equal to the demigods by the mercy of Supreme Lord? Because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Diti was completely purified. When she got up from bed, she saw her 49 sons along with Indra. These 49 sons were all as brilliant as fire and were in friendship with Indra, and therefore she was very pleased. Thereafter, Diti said to Indra, My dear son, I adhere to this difficult vow just to get a son to kill your 12 Adityas. I prayed for only one son, but now I see that there are 49. How has this happened, my dear son Indra? If you know, please tell me the truth. Do not try to speak lies. And now the shloka on the board. Indra vacham ambateham vyavasitham Upadarya gotontikam Labdantaro chidam garbam Artha budir nadharma drik Indra vacham Ambateham vyavasitam Upadarya gotontikam Labdantaro chidam garbam Artha budir nadharma drik Please chant.
Indra vacham
Vaishnavis? Indravacha, Indra said, Amba, O Mother, Te, Your, Aham, I, Vyavasitam, Wow, Upadharya, Understanding, Agatha, Came, Antikam, Nearby, Labdha, Having found Antara, a fault, Achidam, I cut, Garbham, the embryo, Artabuddhi, being self-interested, Na, not, Dharmadrik, possessing vision of religion. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, Prabhupada. Indra replied, My dear mother, because I was grossly blinded by selfish interests, I lost sight of religion. When I understood that you were observing a great vow in spiritual life, I wanted to find some fault in you. When I found such a fault, I entered your womb and cut the embryo to pieces. Purport. When Diti, Indra's aunt, explained to Indra without reservation what she had wanted to do, Indra explained his intentions to her. Thus, both of them, instead of being enemies, freely spoke the truth. This is the qualification that results from contact with Vishnu. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyati Bhaktir Bhagavata Kinchana Sarvari Gunais Tatra Samasate Suraha. If one develops a devotional attitude and becomes purified by worshipping the Supreme Lord, all the good qualities are certainly manifested in his body. Because of being touched by worship of Vishnu, both Diti and Indra were purified. Ambateham yavasitam upadarya gatontikam labdantaro chidangharbam artha buddhirna dharma drik. Indra replied, My dear mother, because I was grossly blinded by selfish interest, I lost sight of religion. When I understood that you were observing a great vow in spiritual life, I wanted to find some fault in you. When I found such a fault, I entered your womb and cut the embryo to pieces. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shiyuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupan Sagriyatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tansa Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Laita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishya Namaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radha Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Jashri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadara Shivasadi Ghora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Vancha kalpatrubhishya kripa sindubhya evachya pati tanam bhavenebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. So in this 18th chapter of the 6th canto, we hear about very interesting episode. Both Diti and Indra, the devotees, they might not be pure devotees, but they're sort of devotees. And they try to harm each other. Diti, she wants to kill Indra, and then he's entering her womb trying to kill the embryo in the womb. Is this a strange behavior on the part of a devotee, trying to harm another devotee? Have you ever heard of this before? It is not really devotional behavior, but unfortunately, it does happen. What is the reason that it happens? We all coming to devotional or spiritual life after many lifetimes in the material world, and we carry a lot of load with us, a lot of impurities, a lot of material desires, anarthas, and bad qualities. So it is no wonder that when we start with the spiritual life, these bad qualities somehow come to light, and then we act in non-devotional ways. So what is the way how we deal with this non-devotional behavior and non-devotional qualities? Well, on the social organizational level, we have some systems, mechanisms, bodies like child protection team, ESCO, this and that. There are systems how to check these behaviors. But how do we deal with this on the individual level? When we recognize some inauspicious bad quality in our own heart. Well, at first, actually, it's not easy to recognize that we have such a quality, because this quality might have been with us for so many lifetimes that it's completely indistinguishable of our own self. Like when you have a small child and you put the earring into the ear of a child. When the child grows up and earring is still there, is he going to notice the earring? No, it's something like a part of his body. He doesn't think it's something separate of him. So we might have some quality that we're carrying for a long, long time, like pride, for example. And we are absolutely not aware of it. It became a part of our subtle body, and it's very, very difficult to notice that it exists, actually. We cannot notice, but others can. It somehow comes in our actions, in our behavior, in our character. And those outside, they can see it if they are a little sharp. But we are also supposed to see it in order to change that quality, in order to do something, to change ourselves. And Krishna is kindly telling us that something might be wrong with us. When the difficult moments in life come, facing some difficulty, it can be anything, a disease, some conflicts, relationships, whatever it is. And this is happening again and again. The person who is a little bit insightful, introspective, he'll think, maybe there is some hidden reason behind all this. Maybe it's not just this external cause. Maybe Krishna wants me to learn something. Maybe he wants me to change something. The person who is introspective, he'll think like this. And then he'll pray to Krishna, please tell me what you want me to learn. What should I change? What am I supposed to change? Without changing our bad qualities, our behavior, we cannot make spiritual advancement. So how do we change? What is the way to change. First, we have, of course, have to have desire to change. But then how we deal with it? Well, the general way to change is pure devotional service. Here we see Diti. She did a vow, very strict vow of worship of Vishnu. For 1 year, she strictly followed many detailed rules and regulations and worshiped Lord Vishnu. And as a result of that, her heart was completely purified. That at the end of the vow, she didn't want to kill Indra anymore. She didn't want to harm him anymore. Actually, she was very glad to see him. So thus we can conclude that devotional service is the way to change our heart. Then you can say, well, I'm doing devotional service for the last 10, 20, 30 years. But still, I'm getting angry. Still, I'm proud. Still, so many qualities are in my heart. These inauspicious qualities. So how come? Well, Diti, she purified her heart in just 1 year. How long is it going to take to us? It depends on us. But it's recommended that everybody, regardless of his or her position, regardless how contaminated or impure heart he might have, should worship Krishna. Akama sarva kamava moksha kamo daradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajita purusha param. So those who are akama, basically devotees, who have no material desires, sarva kama, those who desire everything, anything in material world, moksha kama, those who desire liberation, they all should worship Krishna. Purusha param, how? Tivrena bhakti yogena. With the tivra bhakti, with intense devotional service. So this word tivran or tivra is very significant. It characterizes the devotional service. In order to purify the heart, the devotional service has to be intense. It has to be strong. The opposite of strong is weak or lousy. Lousy bhakti. So we cannot expect that just by fingering some rounds, by checking our latest Facebook posts, eating a little bit of prasadam and coming to the temple just to talk with our friends, that in this way we are going to purify ourselves very fast. Of course, it is good, it's helpful, but it will take a long, long time. If we want quick results, we have to do tivra bhakti. We have to do intense devotional service. Who is the best example of this intense devotional service? Dhruva Maharaj, of course. Just a small boy, 5 years old. And he also had quite some material desires in his heart. Usually we think, oh, the small children, they're so innocent. But we don't know what these children carry in their heart from previous lifetimes. So Dhruva Maharaj, naturally, he was Kshatriya, and he was very much offended by not being allowed to sit in the lap of his father. Actually, his stepmother, she was so envious of him that she told him that you have to take another birth from my womb in order to be qualified to sit on my lap. And that offended Dhruva so much, so that he went back crying to his mother Suniti, and she was helpless to help him. So she agreed, yes, your stepmother, she advised you very well. The only one who can help you, this is Supreme Lord Vishnu, so you should worship him. And then Dhruva Maharaj, he made resolve, yes, I'm going to worship Lord Vishnu, and I'll ask for the kingdom greater than the kingdom of my father, greater than the kingdom of my grandfather, Lord Brahma. So he had a very intense material desire in his heart. And being so determined, he went to the forest. And then by the will of the providence, we know the story, Narada Muni came there because he's as good as Paramatma. So he knew that Dhruva Maharaj wanted to undergo self-realization. So he came there to help him. At first he tested him. No, you're a very small boy. Just go home and play. Once you grow up, then you can perform devotional service. But no, Dhruva Maharaj, he was determined. I'm sorry. I want to get what I want to get. So please, if you can help, help me. And then when Narad Muni, he saw how serious he is, he instructed him in devotional practice. He gave him the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and he gave him the process to follow. And Dhruva did follow in a very intense way, we can say. First month, what did he do? Every third day, he ate only fruits and berries, bathed 3 times a day, and performed meditation and chanted his mantra. Every third day. Second month, he ate only dry grass and leaves every 6 days. Third month, every 9 days, he drank only water. That's intense. Only water every 9 days. And then, fourth month, every 12 days, he would take a breath. Then he was standing on one leg, holding his breath, completely absorbed in meditation on the Lord and his heart. As the result of his severe austerities, whole world, all demigods, they start suffocating. And they had to come in front of Lord Vishnu and to pray for salvation. They were so disturbed. And as the result, you know, Lord Vishnu appeared and he granted Dhruva Maharaj a boon. But that wouldn't happen if Dhruva Maharaj was not so determined, if he wasn't so strong in his devotional practice. So we can learn a lesson of determination, that we have to have very strong sadhana in order to purify our heart. Otherwise, it may take long, long time. What is the another thing that is helpful in purifying the heart? Association. We get the qualities of those we associate with. So if we associate with the pure-hearted devotees, then we also develop a pure heart and the transcendental qualities these devotees possess. Again, classical example from Shastra is Narada Muni and the hunter Mrigari. You know, Narada Muni, he came to Prayag, wanted to take the bath in the confluence of Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. After taking a bath, he took a walk in the forest and then he saw half dead animals lying everywhere. So he was wondering, who is doing this mischief? So he went off from the forest path, and then behind the tree, he saw this creature, hunter. He was completely black. Very degraded person. You can imagine how he looked like. Can you imagine what was in his heart? And he wanted to chastise Narada Muni with very harsh words because he was scaring off the animals, spoiling his hunt. But he couldn't. He couldn't say any bad word because he was influenced by the saintly presence of Narada Muni. So that's why he just politely asked him, "My dear sir, why have you come here? How can I help you?" And then Narada, he inquired from him, Who is the killing, half killing these animals? And then to make the story short, at the end, Mrigari, he agreed to stop his sinful life. Just by the saintly presence of Narada Muni, he agreed to leave home and come with his wife and just perform pure devotional service. So it didn't take a long time. The next time Narada Muni came with his friend Parvata Muni, he saw the same hunter who was now a Vaishnava. And he was running to meet his spiritual master, but there were many ants on a path. So he was very careful not to step on them. The same person who was half killing all animals and who really enjoyed in their suffering. He was so envious that he enjoyed previously in the suffering of animals. Now he was so compassionate, so merciful, so non-violent that he didn't want to hurt an ant by accident. This is really dramatic and drastic change of the heart. So he just whisked the ants off and then he paid in dandavats. And the Parvata Muni, the Narada Muni's transcendental friend, when he saw this, he praised Narada Muni, "My dear Narada, you're like a touchstone. You're Sparshamani. Just by your touch, this low-born hunter has become the first-class Vaishnava, filled with all good qualities." So this is the power of Vaishnava association, power of sadhu sangha. So that's why we want to associate with those who have these qualities. Even if we think that there are not so many around me who have these qualities, still we can associate by great personalities described in Vedic literatures, by hearing about them, by hearing about their transcendental qualities. So one important thing, if we want to change and develop good qualities, we should also know what these qualities are. It is good to have idea how we want to become. At present, maybe I might be angry, proud, this and that, but if you just meditate on this, we'll stay like we are. So we should know how we're supposed to be. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's listing 26 qualities of pure devotee. So it is good to know about these qualities, to meditate on them, and to meditate on devotees who exemplify these qualities. In this way we can develop desire to develop these qualities and slowly imbibe these qualities by hearing about these pure devotees. I'll mention just some of them. First quality, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami's listing is Kripalu. Prabhupada translates in one place as kind and another place as merciful. But basically this is more or less two same things. Devotee is supposed to be kind. That means that he's wishing well to everybody. And he wants to give his mercy. He wants to help. He's a benefactor. He's a well-wisher. This is the purport of Kripalu, being merciful, being kind. Devotee with this quality who comes to my mind is Vasudev Datta. He is described by Krishna Das Kaviraj as Mahakripalu, the benefactor of the entire world. He was compassionate to all living entities and intoxicated by the mellows of love for Lord Chaitanya. He was Mahabhagavata. He didn't find faults in others and he was always eager to benefit others. He had unflinching love for Sri Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. In English language, he would be called a greater altruist. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavata, Purport of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He's calling him greatest altruist. He was so dear to Lord Chaitanya that Lord Chaitanya, he would declare, "I belong to Vasudev Datta. My body belongs to Vasudev Datta." He was so dear to him because of his transcendental qualities. So on one occasion, when devotees from Bengal who were regularly visiting Puri were about to leave, back to Bengal. Vasudadatta he approached Lord Chaitanya and he prayed to him. He said, "My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their disease, material life." Srila Prabhupada gives very amazing purport on this shloka. I just want to read some parts of them, of it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gives the following commentary on this verse. Srila Prabhupada is saying, "In the Western countries, Christians believe that Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual master, appeared in order to eradicate all the sins of his disciples. To this end, Lord Jesus Christ appeared and disappeared. Here, however, we find Sri Vasudevdatta Thakur and Srila Haridas Thakur to be many millions of times more advanced than even Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ relieved only his followers from all sinful reactions, but Vasudevdatta is here prepared to accept the sins of everyone in the universe." So the comparative position of Vasudevdatta is millions of times better than that of Lord Jesus Christ. A Vaishnava is so liberal that he is prepared to risk everything to rescue the conditioned souls from material existence. Srila Vasudevdatta Thakur is the universal love itself, for he was willing to sacrifice everything and fully engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. He was the most exalted personality to ever show mercy to the conditioned souls. This is not exaggeration of his transcendental qualities. It is perfectly true. Actually, there cannot be any comparison to Vasudevdatta. As the perfect Vaishnava, he was paradukkha-dukkhi, very much aggrieved to see others suffer. The entire world is purified simply by appearance of such a great devotee. Indeed, by his transcendental presence, the whole world is glorified in all conditioned souls are also glorified. So this comparison to Lord Jesus Christ is not in any way to diminish the greatness of Jesus Christ, but it's just to glorify Srila Vasudevdatta, the greatest Mahakripalu Vaishnava. So just by hearing about such Vaishnava and meditating upon him, we develop some of his qualities. So even if we cannot personally associate, just by remembering these great personalities, we imbibe some of these qualities and we become better persons. So therefore, we have so many biographies of great Vaishnavacharyas to read and hear from. And we should take advantage of it. Just remembering a pure Vaishnava is very, very powerful. I had one small accident in my personal life many years ago. I want to just share. It was during the time when I was still working in some bank office. And those days I didn't have much work to do, so all day I was just sitting and reading some biographies of Srila Prabhupada. That particular day I was reading My Glorious Spiritual Master of Burijan Prabhu, and the book was so mesmerizing that I was completely absorbed and completely oblivious of everything else. Some people passing through the office here and there, I didn't really notice them. But then at one moment, I noticed three colleagues standing in front of my desk and watching, staring at me. I was thinking, what's up with these guys? So I look up and they asked me, "What did you do today? You look so effulgent, you look so attractive. Did you use special beauty cream, some cosmetics? You still have the same clothes? What is that glow coming out from you?" And then I just laughed. But then when I left, I understood that just because I was remembering Prabhupada so deeply, there was some change that they could notice. So just by remembering great personalities, Srila Prabhupada, we can actually imbibe some of his transcendental qualities. And in this way, overcome our bad qualities, whatever these qualities might be. So Mahakripala was the first quality, merciful. So we'll just go quickly, since we don't have much time, through all of them. Akrita Doha is the second quality. Vaishnava is humble. It's essential quality of a Vaishnava. Being proud and being a devotee just doesn't go well together. One has to be humble in order to chant the holy name and to derive the results of that chanting. Satya Sara, thoroughly truthful. Devotee is supposed to be truthful. It's difficult maybe for us to reconcile how somebody who is a devotee can say untruth or lie, but it happens sometimes, is it? Because we are not purified. But if we know that we're supposed to be truthful, we can work on that. I knew a person who wanted to be a devotee, but he had a problem because in the past he was saying so many lies, so he couldn't just get rid of it. It was just a habit. But then one day he came to me and told me, I got cured. I got cured from my lying. How? Well, he explained to me, I was put in a room and I had to live for some time with a person who was a greater liar than myself. So I was completely disgusted, he said. And I decided this is the end. So sometimes even the opposite association can cure us. But in most cases, we want a saintly association. Sama, devotee is equal. So he's equal to his own kin and those who are not his own. The example that comes to my mind was the Maharaj Yudhishthira, when that yaksha at that lake, poisonous lake, when all brothers of Yudhishthira, you know, Sahadev, Nakula, Bhima and Arjuna were lying dead, and Maharaj Yudhishthira satisfied the yaksha by answering the questions. He offered him a boon: I can revive one of your brothers, I can give him life back. So which one you're going to choose? And then Yudhishthira, he chose Nakula Sahadev, one of them. And then Yaksha asked him, why did you choose your stepbrother? You could have chosen son of Kunti, Bhima or Arjuna. Why did you choose Nakula? Then Maharaj Yudhishthira explained, well, I have two mothers, both mother and Kunti, they're both my mothers. And I have to be completely equal towards both of them. Since my mother Kunti, she already has one son left, me. Then my other mother, Madri, she also deserves to have one son alive. That's why I'm choosing Nakula or Sahadev. So this is the greatness of Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was equal. So Nidosha, faultless. You cannot find any fault in a Vaishnava. Vadanya, magnanimous, mridu, mild. This is interesting quality. The word is mild. Somehow being rough and harsh, in my experience, doesn't go very well together with being a devotee. Okay, we might be a little bit rough because of our previous life and experience, but as we're making progress, somehow we're supposed to soften. Not only in the heart, but also in our behavior, our dealings. Devotee is mild. It is important quality. Shuchi, devotee is clean. That means both internally and externally. Akinchana, without material possessions. Sarva Upakaraka, working for the welfare of everyone. Shanta, devotee is peaceful. Krishna Eka Sharana, exclusive surrender to Krishna. Akama, desireless, that means he has no material desires. Aniha, indifferent to material acquisitions. Sthira, fixed. Vijita Shadguna, completely controlling the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed, etc. Mitabuk, eating only as much as required. This may be the difficult quality to attain. Devotee is also apramata, without inebriation, means that he is sober. Manada, respectful, Amani without false prestige, Gambira, grave, Karuna, compassionate, Maitra, a friend, Kavi, a poet, Daksha, expert, Mauni, silent. So these are the qualities that we are sooner or later supposed to attain when our hearts become purified. And for each and every of these qualities, we can find a role model, a devotee who exemplifies this quality, like Vasudev Datta exemplifies Kripalu, the quality of being merciful. And in this way, we can remember these exalted devotees of the Lord and gradually imbibe those qualities. So I'll just quickly summarize the point I wanted to make, that in order, though we might have some bad qualities, still we can get purified from those bad qualities by performing devotional service, but that performance has to be intense. We're supposed to perform Tivra Bhakti, strong devotional service. And second, we can develop good qualities, devotional qualities, by associating, serving and remembering those pure devotees who possess these transcendental qualities to full extent. I'll stop now if you have any comments or questions, perhaps. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for the lecture. You were mentioning about strong sadhana, you just now repeated, to get rid of bad qualities. Through the years, I hear many definitions about what is the sadhana. Sometimes we have tension to adjust sadhana definition to our own sadhana. Can you please tell us what is your definition of sadhana and how to put in the practice on a daily basis?
Definition of sadhana is simple, as Srila Prabhupada gave it to us. And basically consists of morning program that is focused around hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam. That's when morning time, we have Mangalarti, then we chant japa, attentive japa. Then we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, and this way we have Krishna Katha. So this is the basic morning sadhana that we were given by Srila Prabhupada. And of course, during the day, we can add to that sadhana, but more hearing and more chanting, and in this way increase strength of our sadhana. Worshipping the deity also, besides the hearing and chanting, is very helpful to purify the heart. I don't know what else. Anybody else has any idea? Lakshmi Mohan Mataji? Yeah, following four regular principles in order to stay pure. Anything else? Yes, Mataji? Yes, this is again a very good point. To have some devotional service during the day. It's not that we finish our devotional service once our morning program is finished. Actually, all our activities during the day, they're supposed to be devotional service. But in order for the other activities to be devotional service, we need strong morning program in order to become infused by Krishna consciousness, that we can remember Krishna during the rest of the day. And also by performing all these different duties during the day, we are supposed to connect them to Krishna with a conscious intention. My dear Krishna, my dear Lord, I'm doing this for you. Before performing any activity, devotee is supposed to dedicate that activity to Krishna. Then the activity becomes devotional service. Otherwise, it could be just mechanical work or karma. And of course, the basic instruction is to chant the Maha Mantra incessantly. Constant chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra while doing everything else, with a silent or loud, on beats, off beats. This is also very helpful to remember Krishna during the day. Anything else? Yes, Madhaji? Yes, good point. Sandwich program, morning program and evening program. And in between is the practical devotional service. Okay, if nothing else, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Hare Krishna.